Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome here to St. Stephen's on this sad but special day, as we give thanks to Reverend Kelly for his ministry among us as our temporary minister. Kelly has touched many hearts with his unique style and gentle humour, and we wish only the best for he and Keitha as they enjoy their retirement finally. And we hope that they'll visit us often. And with Reverend Kelly's departure, we look forward to Reverend Robin Jacobson starting his ministry with us on June the 1st. These are exciting times. Praise be to God. From generation to generation, God has brought good news of love and compassion, justice and community. Today we light the Christ candle to remind ourselves that in Christ, God is at work in this world. So let's join together in today's call to worship. Called to be branches in Christ's body, we yearn to be connected to the vine. Called to be mustard bushes, offering shade to God's creatures, we search for places to plant the seeds of faith. Called to be growing with God in the midst of this world's painful questions, we seek God's nurturing presence. And let's welcome God in our midst by praying together the opening prayer. Mighty God, to you belong the mysteries of the universe. You transform shepherds into kings, the smallest seeds into magnificent trees, and hardened hearts into loving ones. Bless us with your life-giving spirit. Recreate us in your image and shape us to your purposes. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, God never flinches from us, is never repulsed or even surprised. In boundless patience and compassion, he waits for us to turn our hearts back to him. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Loving God, save us from hardness of heart, where your word cannot take root. Compassionate God, save us from shallowness of mind, where your word withers away. O Lord, save us from the deceitfulness of riches, where your word is choked by everyday cares. But Lord, grant that our hearts may be fertile soil, where your word flourishes and yields a harvest, bringing salvation to ourselves and those about us. Amen.
Let us hear words of assurance. Fear not, for our Creator, the loving Maker of all reality, forgives us and redeems us from violence and oppression. God sows the good news in tiny seeds, inviting us to tend the soil of community and marvel as they grow. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah warned, "They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. The passing of the peace is more than ritual. It is a symbol of our commitment to peace and reconciliation, a commitment to living God's love for all the world. The peace of Christ be with you."
This morning's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 30 to 34, and it's the parable of the mustard seed. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On occasion here at St. Stephen's in my time, I have adopted a style of Stuart McLean, who was part of the CBC storytelling on Sunday afternoons. And some folks had said, we sure would like to hear another message in the style of Stuart McLean before you go. So today I offer the parable of the mustard seed, borrowing somewhat the style of Stuart McLean. Again, the scripture reading for today. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Ernie preferred to drive the country roads by himself, didn't have to worry about his speed as he hit those wonderfully deep dips in the road that caused Oma's stomach to leap in her mouth and the occasional grandchild to lose their lunch in the back seat. And if he was driving by himself, he could sing and smoke, both at the same time, like he was sure Hank Williams did on the Grand Ole Opry. Red-winged blackbirds had often heard, your cheating heart will tell on you, spilling out of the roll-down window into the cool morning air, followed by wisps of blue smoke that was the trademark of a Bull Durham roll-your-own. But none of that would happen today because Ernie had finally given in to the frequent requests of the new preacher. When can you take me for a ride in the country? Show me the crops and where and how the people live. And today was that day. And they were well on their way into the lush countryside that was alive with the soon-to-be-ripening wheat. Clover grew wild along the rutted dirt road. Saskatoons hung from the bushes in the ditch, not yet quite ready for the picking. What exactly do you do, Ernie, asked the preacher man. And I'm a field man for the province, said Ernie. I travel around from farm to farm and look at crops. Mostly I look for weeds in the field and then offer advice to the farmer as to how best control the weeds so his crop will have the best yields. I help them turn little seeds into tall, productive plants. Preacher man thought that job sounds quite a bit like mine, but he kept his thoughts to himself today. Instead, he said what he thought might have sounded like flattery, had it not been coming from a man of the cloth. Well, that's quite a lot of responsibility, Ernie. People must trust you a lot to put their livelihood in your hands. Ernie correctly took that comment as a statement of truth and not a question and simply sped up a bit as he rounded a corner and hit the familiar dip in the road at just the perfect speed. And preacher man eventually regained his equilibrium and control of his stomach as Ernie slowed down ever so slightly to pass the tractor that was occupying his lane. People that drive tractors on country roads don't tolerate dust and gravel all that well, and Ernie knew he'd be stopping by in the afternoon to see the driver. What about you, Reverend? How would you describe your job? Ernie inquired, and Ernie preferred to listen rather than talk a lot. Learned that from living with Oma, his wife, of many, many years. Well, began the preacher man, searching for words that would be appropriate for the farming community to which he had just been sent by the governing body of a larger, wiser church community. I've been called by God and the church to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love and care for all Christians. Ernie appeared to be concentrating on staying on the washboard part of the road. That sounds like a lot of responsible, Reverend. People must trust you a lot to put their livelihood in your hands. And Reverend heard that as more of a question than a statement of truth, which was good because that was the way Ernie intended it. Reverend said, well, yeah, but I teach people to trust in God. Not so much what I do for the people, but what God does for the people. Wanting to try out his pastoral skills, he ventured, you do believe in trust in God, don't you, Ernie? Preacher man wanted to go for a drive in the country to see the crops where the people lived, and he'd done that all right. He hadn't counted on getting a down-home lesson in theology, though. You see, Ernie believed in a higher power. Mostly, he believed in the power of a good story, good land, and good people. And while he didn't have much chance to talk around the house, and don't get me wrong, he did love Oma, but he loved the countryside and the people who worked the land because out there he was totally at home. And he didn't mind a good philosophical discussion from time to time. Do I believe and trust in God, Ernie mused? I expect so. But what I really believe in is its people. The people I see every day, they're the ones who seem to get things done around here. They're the ones who help out folks that lose their houses. When somebody gets injured, they run over to do their neighbor's chores, keep the fires going in the winter. And when the bank manager wants to call in people's loans, it's the neighbors who bump into the bank manager on Main Street and persuade the bank to hold off for another month. Do I believe in God? Yes. But it's my next door neighbor that found a place to live and a job for the family that just arrived here from the Ukraine. And they were pretty desperate and lonely when they first arrived on the train. Ernie stopped the car at the next driveway and the preacher wondered what was up. And Ernie got out of the car and by the time the Reverend got through the rose bush patch to the other side of the car, Ernie was scratching the ears of the biggest, mangiest dog the Reverend had ever seen. And Ernie continued with the sermon, and you see this dog here? Ran over and left for dead in the ditch. The farmer found him, and now he's part of the family. Do I believe in God, Ernie asks. I expect so, but what I really believe is that God must really believe in us. What do you mean? Asked the preacher as he took over the task of scratching the ears of the mongrel. Ernie lit his cigarette, inhaled deeply, and appeared deep in thought. When I hear people say, oh God, do this, do that, and do the other, well, how do they expect things will get done? Bolts of lightning, magical intervention? Does God have magical agents and ministers? No. What I see are good, common, decent people who are in the right place at the right time and are prepared to do the right thing. And then he caught the preacher off balance. I remember hearing about a man named Moses who really didn't want to do what needed to be done, but something inside of him got him going and kept him going till he could do all the right things. Freed a whole nation of slaves, if I recollect properly. Preacher just nodded and kept scratching his new best friend in this land he had been sent to without consultation. Ernie was nearing the end of his smoke and the lesson for the day. What I believe is God must have an enormous amount of faith in us. Not like our faith that can wax and wane, but a strong faith kind of like a vote of confidence. God has wagered everything, the whole world, bet the whole bundle, that like Moses, we won't let him down. "Since you've asked, that's what I believe," said Ernie, as he crushed the last bit of fire on the end of the cigarette before tucking it safely into the cuff of his pants. "Come on, Reverend, let's drive on into this house. Let's see if God has provided them with any coffee and a sandwich they might share with us. You pray, I'll drive." And only the red-winged blackbird, the mongrel dog, and God saw the huge grins that Ernie and the Reverend hid from each other as they got back in the car. Both Ernie and Jesus tell stories to get our attention about it, what it means to be a prophet, to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves. The good news is God loves us too, and it's unconditional and everlasting. And it is this love we can draw on in order to find love, mercy, and compassion for both our neighbors and ourselves. May it be so. Amen. As we gather on this spring day, Mother's Day, let us gather as we pray together. Julian of Norwich was a mystic in the 1300s and spent much of her life cloistered, locked in a room, studying scripture, theology. And she developed a way of looking at the Bible in a way that gave it a feminine type touch and relationship. She writes, "As truly as God is our Father, so just as truly is God our Mother. In our Father, God Almighty, we have our being. In our merciful Mother, we are remade and restored. Our fragmented lives are knit together and made perfect. And by giving and yielding ourselves through grace to the Holy Spirit, we are made whole." Let us gather as we pray this morning. Holy One, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports, nurtures, and challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all of the blessings that you so generously offer us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for mothers the world over. We give thanks for all who have nurtured and care for us, remembering especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, our surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all women who have shared their faith with us. We pray, compassionate God, for those mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned, or disappointed in their role as mother. And we pray for those who have been denied a longed-for chance at motherhood, and for those whose years of mothering have been cut short by the loss of a child. We lift up before you, God, the members of our human family around the world, for those who are afflicted or suffering at this time, for those who need healing, for those who require better shelter, for those who live in violent homes and communities, for those who are grieving, and for those whose needs are known to you alone. We remember and to lift you up our silent prayers as we gather here today. Holy Parent of us all, touch us with your healing peace and gentle embrace, that we may walk in your ways, bringing dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of your world. All of this we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for all the ways that you give to God's work here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week for God's purposes? God of great gifts, we give you our gifts today, knowing that you are constantly providing and caring for us. As we have been abundantly provided for, so we give abundantly to the work that you give us to do, the work of the church, the care of others. Accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, this week sees the end of Reverend Kelly's time with us. I believe he and his wife, Keitha, are going to take some time to rest, to travel, and just be retired. And as we do when folks leave us, we send them out with our love. So will you join me in prayer? Creator God, Holy One, we give thanks for remembered times when we together have shared the life of faith. We thank you for the moments we have shared with Reverend Kelly in worship, in learning, in laughter, in tears, in prayer. Particularly, we give thanks for Reverend Kelly's care, his humility, and quick but very gentle humour. We pray that both he and Keitha will be aware of your guidance and presence with them as they move into retirement, and ask that your Holy Spirit continues to move in them and in us as we remain here to continue the work you inspire in this congregation. Bless the insights we have received through Reverend Kelly's work and by your grace during this time of ministry, that we are known, we are loved, and we are enough. May Reverend Kelly and Keitha know that we send them out encompassed by our love, to be led by the promises of the living God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, and by the guidance of the Spirit of life, and knowing that they always belong here at St. Stephen's. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.
Having gathered today and worshiped today, let us go in peace and love and care for one another. And may God lead you to places of rest and renewal. May Jesus Christ give you life in abundance, and may the Holy Spirit fill your hearts with gladness and generosity, both now and forevermore. You are known, you are loved, you are enough. Amen.
And the creed and the